And we're going to continue our study of verses 12 through 22 in this series of messages titled, Being a Biblical Church Family. If you need to take the Pew Bible out, it's on page 874 in the Pew Bible. Our main lesson that we're carrying with us this morning is that a biblical church has members who believe as they ought to behave, who behave as they ought to behave, and that makes for a healthy, happy, and holy church. That's what we want, don't we? A healthy, happy, and a holy church. And you know what? There's no secret to what that is. God has spelled it out very plainly in His Word, what makes a healthy, happy, and holy church. All we got to do is do what it says. Amen? Amen. That's the problem. Amen? Let's submit to the Word of God. Well, there was an old farmer who didn't particularly like his pastor's preaching. And he let him know he didn't. He said to his pastor one time, I see at a minister seminar you discussed how to get people to attend church. He said, I've been to a lot of meetings for farmers, but I've never heard a single speech on how to get the cattle to eat. We spend our time discussing the right kind of feed. Right? A little knife right in the pastor's side. Obviously, this old farmer never heard a message from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, did he? Because if he had heard a message from chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians verses 12 through 22, he would know that he was not acting like he ought to behave. He was not being a biblical church member. If he had been, he would have known better than to disrespect and dishonor his pastor and hold him in such low regard. Well, we've been studying God's Word to learn how to be a biblical church family. And last Sunday, we began a series of messages starting with verses 12 through 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And point number one is this point. In a biblical church family, the shepherd and the sheep get along well. Hallelujah. Amen. And we learned what a biblical pastor ought to do for the church family. And we learned these three things, that a biblical pastor labors amongst the church family. He works hard. A biblical pastor also exercises authority over the church family. And finally, that a biblical pastor provides instructions to the church family. He admonishes them from God's Word. Well, I promised you last Sunday that we would learn this Sunday what biblical church members do in relation to their pastor. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Still point number one here. And let me just give you the three things the Bible says how a biblical church member ought to behave in relation to the pastor, to the shepherd, to the overseer, the elder of the church. So look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, we ask you, brothers, number one, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And number two, verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And number three, you may not think this has anything to do with the relationship to the pastor, but it does. Number three is this, be at peace among yourselves. Well, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there's three important things that the Apostle Paul points out. These are not only things that the New Testament says about a church member behaving the way they ought to, but these are three good ones. And he wrote these things while under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he tells us, quite frankly and simply, how a biblical church member ought to behave in respect to their pastor. And as you see here, a biblical church member ought to treat their pastor with respect, ought to highly esteem their pastor in love, and finally, ought to be at peace with other church members. And as I said last Sunday, if I could get another pastor up here to preach this message, I would. But I'm the one, and this is where we're at in our systematic study, verse by verse, of God's Word, and we're going to cover what God's Word teaches us here this morning. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that is before us to dine at this spiritual oasis this morning, to drink deeply from your word and to be nourished spiritually by it. And we thank you. And so, Father, please just give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. Well, point number D is this. A biblical church member ought to treat their pastor with respect. That's the first thing. We ask you, brothers, first part of verse 12, to respect those. Talking about your church leaders. The Greek word here translated respect in the ESV, in other translations, it may be translated appreciate. Is that the word it has in your Bibles? Appreciate. To respect or appreciate. This Greek word means to know by experience. So how do you come to respect your pastor? How do you come to appreciate your pastor? You get to know your pastor. It also means to acknowledge. Acknowledge them as your pastor. Acknowledge the fact that God has called you to respect them and to honor them. It could even mean to take interest in them. To take interest in them. So to know your pastor means much more than just to simply know his name, or to know his wife's name, or to know his children's name. One theologian writes, the connotation here is that church members are to know their shepherds deeply and respectfully and to value their service. If you get to know your pastor more deeply, the idea here is that you will not mind his admonishing you with God's word, instructing you. You'll not mind him being in authority over you according to God's word in the Lord. You will love the fact that he works among you. If you know your pastor more deeply, you may be less likely, on the other hand, to be unkind or disrespectful or overly critical of your pastor. In other words, you'll respect him and his ministry among you. So get to know your pastor. Respect your pastor. Appreciate your pastor. That's what Paul's saying here. You know, I've grown up in church. Phyllis and I go a long ways back at Lexington Avenue Baptist Church. Mark was just, I think, my age. And were the other kids born yet, Phyllis? So this is a long time ago. And so she knows I've grown up in church my whole life. And I have witnessed times in churches when members have just been absolutely disrespectful to pastors. It is the most unkind and most cruelest thing to see a God-called man to be disrespected by the very sheep that he's trying to lead. And I can tell you, it doesn't do anyone any good. Some pastors just soon not get, or some church members just soon not to get to know their pastor. So it's happened on occasion here at Liberty Baptist Church with me. I can recall a number of members in the past who really had a hard time giving me the respect the Bible calls for them to give me respect. And I honestly never knew why. You say, well, why didn't you ask him, Pastor? I don't know. It was just easier not to. They didn't get to know me. They really didn't even give me a chance. They didn't want to get to know me. They just had said in their hearts and in their minds, I'm just not going to like him. And so they didn't. And I want to tell you, church family, that is the most unbiblical attitude that you can ever have in relationship with your pastor. It is just completely unbiblical to a T. Some church members just think their pastor has some kind of ulterior motives behind everything that they do. Pastor always says something, they go, that the pastor wants to do this, that pastor wants to spend all of our money. Have you ever heard that before? Who knows, some of you may have even said it. Or that pastor doesn't use the KJV, he is the most unbiblical pastor I know. Or look at that, that pastor makes his wife and his children sit on the front pew. I was accused of that. That pastor makes his wife and children sit on the front pew. I bet he's a dictator at home. I was accused of that here, right here at Liberty Baptist Church. Pastor, Alice, they ever make y'all sit on the front pew? You know, we kept our kids on the front pew so we could see them and make sure they weren't doing anything they weren't supposed to be doing. And I don't think I'm a dictator at home either, but I was accused of that. To respect your pastor just simply means to not take him for granted, to get to know him so that you will learn to love him and honor him. It means to hold him up in prayer. Even when you think his motives aren't all that good, it means to pray for him in season and out. It means to treat him with honor, with dignity, with respect, because that's what a biblical church member does. And if you get to know him, who knows? You really might like him. Well, the second thing we see here, not only is a biblical church member to respect their pastor, but a biblical church member ought to highly esteem their pastor in love. Now, I just want to put this out there before you. To respect and to esteem your pastor, and both, these are two different Greek words, but their circle of meaning overlap, all right? Meaning that they can be synonyms in a certain respect. The difference here is the qualifiers that Paul uses when it comes to esteeming your pastor that he didn't use with respect, although these two words can have a similar meaning, if you will, although they're two, as I said, two different Greek words. So in relation to the pastor, how ought a biblical church member behave? Well, we've already learned what? You should, y'all have already forgot. Okay, you should respect your pastor. And here, you ought to highly esteem your pastor in love. That's what the Bible says. Esteem them very highly in love. Now, first, I want you to notice the qualifier that Paul uses here when it comes to esteeming the pastor. He uses another one of his super superlatives, as one theologian says, very highly. How should you esteem him? Just as minimum as possible, right? Right? Well, I'll do it, but I sure don't want to, kind of deal. No, you are to highly esteem him, very highly esteem him. It means to esteem your pastor beyond all measure. That's what that super superlative means. And I would try to pronounce the Greek word, but it's about 12 syllables long, so I'm not going to be able to do that. It doesn't mean that you blow smoke at your pastor. You know what I mean by that? It doesn't mean that you just try to give him a big head or that you overly compliment him. Doesn't mean that, to give him a big head. And Paul's not promoting pastor worship here either. To esteem, this Greek word means to think highly of your pastor. You know, as I said before, some church members just always believe their pastor have some ulterior motives for everything they do. They think very low of their pastor. And here what Paul is saying is, think very highly of your pastor, even when it's a challenge. Give him the benefit of the doubt. One theologian writes, esteem them way beyond what you could imagine. Now, I have found some church members only have negative things to say about their pastor. They invite him to lunch every Sunday, and he's never there with them. One church member said to his pastor, I didn't vote for you, and I still wouldn't today. I just don't like you. That's what one pastor or one parishioner said to the pastor. Now, that's never happened to me here. I'm not giving a personal experience here. Matter of fact, I looked up online. I said, can list 10 things that church members say bad about their pastor. And believe it or not, there was a list that came up. Man, you get everything off the internet. And there was, and that was one of the things that came up. And can you hear a member saying that? Oh, yeah, I can hear members saying that. Now, if that is the way that member treated their pastor, then they are not a biblical church member. They do not highly esteem their pastor. They don't think highly of him. Now, Paul intensifies this command even further when he tells church members to think highly of their pastors. How does he say think highly of their pastors? In love. In love. Now, if I understand it correctly, what Paul is commanding here, and all three of these things are a command. They're a command. They're not a suggestion, they're a command. What he's saying is every church member should love their pastor. That's what he's saying. Now, what kind of love? You know, the Greek has four or five different kinds of or words that are translated with the English word love. And this is the highest form of love the New Testament speaks of, and it's the agape love. And it just simply means a choice to love your pastor. Everyone has a choice to love their pastor. And that's what Paul's saying. You should choose to love your pastor. Now, he also says, notice this, Paul tells us why to highly esteem the pastor in love, why you should highly esteem your pastor, think of him in high regard and love him. Paul says this, because of their work. Because of their work. You know, it never surprises me when I hear pastors say this, that there are members in their church who are over critical of them and always know better how to pastor the church than the pastor knows how to pastor the church, even though they've never been a pastor before or never had a call from God to be a pastor. Y'all know anybody like that? That boy, they just know how to pastor the church. And more importantly, they know how to pastor the pastor. And they let them know that. And that does really no good. Now, does that mean that members cannot speak wisdom and truth to the pastor? Absolutely not. I'll be the first one to say, speak wisdom to me whenever you can because I need all the wisdom that I can get. Do it. I'll accept it gladly and surely. But if you come and jump down my throat, the ugly may come out of me. It has before. So that's not good for me, and it's not good for you. One thing Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, I wish I could say it like he said. He wrote, I have always appreciated people who love the Word of God because I have found that they become my friend. Isn't that the way it should be? That the pastor and the members get along well for the simple reason they're friends. Goes a long way to making a happy, healthy, and holy church. You know, biblical church members, those who love the Word of God, have less of a hard time obeying the Word of God. Although sometimes we do have a hard time. They do because they love God and they love His Word. One last theologian said this, and I'm going to leave this point. He says, God has called pastors and set them apart for the important work of leading His church. Therefore, the church members under him are to lovingly acknowledge their ministry labors, greatly respect them, speak well of them, encourage them, and give their best for their pastor. That came from Dr. John MacArthur, one of the greatest theologians and expositor of God's Word in this century. So, Paul's telling us, don't tear your pastor down, build your pastor up. He says, that's how biblical church members behave. Now, it's 12 o'clock, and I got one more thing that we need to look at here, but I'm not going to. Did I hear it? It's okay. Amen, brother. We can come back to it next Sunday, all right? I'm planning to be here, and I hope y'all plan to be here. And so I want to go ahead and close, though, with a little story. And then we'll finish up this morning. On August 13th, 2004, Hurricane Charley brought fierce destruction to areas of Florida. Y'all may remember that. During the storm, 25-year-old Danny Williams went outside to seek protection under the branches of a 55-year-old banyan tree. Friends and family said that the protective branches of the spreading tree had been one of Danny's favorite places to go, just a peaceful place where he found rest. But on that day, his place of safety, his place of peace and rest, became a death trap to Danny. During the storm, the tree fell on Williams and killed him. And this is the lesson we take from that story. Oftentimes, places and situations we look to for protection and peace can ultimately become the most harmful place. You know, church can be just like that. It can be a place where we should have peace, but instead it's a place where we do harm to one another. Being a biblical church family doesn't mean we'll be perfect, does it? We can't expect perfection. And if there was ever a perfect church, and I've said this before, I wouldn't join it because I'd be the first one to ruin it because I know myself. But if I do what I ought to do biblically, and if you all do what you ought to do biblically, then there's good that's going to happen. We're going to have a healthy, happy, and holy church family. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning once again. We voice our praise and thanksgiving. There's many places that we could have chosen to be today. But thanks be to your Holy Spirit working through us and in our hearts and minds by the word that he inspired. We have been convicted that this is the place we should be. And that is right. And that's holy. And I praise you for it, Lord. And Father, thank you so much for these lessons. I need them. I need to be refreshed on what I ought to be doing. And I know that, Lord, our church family can be refreshed also in knowing what they ought to be doing. So, Father, we just humbly submit to your word and ask, Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to obey, and where we do not, convict us and help us to repent and come back to the center of the circle of your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.